Here we are.
Episode 7. How's your week been, Jay?
Oh, can't believe we're at episode 7 already.
I know.
I think we did one week where we did two episodes, but I think it was the Cooling Ants episode, so...
Yeah, keeping it to one episode a week for the most part.
Trying to. Keep it regular. Monday night's our thing. But nah, mate, to be honest, good week this last week.
It has been interesting.
The mice are breeding.
They are.
You know, we said last week how we started breeding our mice, built a couple of racks. We've got a couple of really good friends that helped us out with some good lines.
Definitely.
So I'm really excited for them. Hopefully they'll start to pick up soon.
Yeah, what about pairing wise? How you done any introductions yet, or am I still the only one doing?
Mate, even every other person in Australia? Nah. I said about a week ago, yeah, I'll pair them on Monday, being tonight.
Yeah.
And then 3 days ago, nah, I'll wait till the following Monday. And then last night it started raining and I'm like, you know, a bit of atmospheric pressure change, why not chuck them in? So I think I chucked about five or six boys around and I think I got three or four locks up, so...
It's pretty good for your first introduction.
Not bad, is it?
Yes.
So a couple of young males that still haven't got the hang of it, but I mean, hey, they'll get there in the end.
Still early days.
What about you, mate? How's your week been? I mean, every week's the same for you, but anything different?
Nothing much changes. It's getting a bit exciting now. More pairings are happening and that sort of thing. So a couple more T+ pairings, T+ to hit. Got the white marbles locked up as we speak.
Wicked. I'm so excited to see what you produce from them, eh?
Pretty excited about those ones. So hopefully they can throw some more babies like the parents or better. And just marbled a het.
Are they for sale? Are you holding them all
back? Nah, those ones will be staying in the den. But I will have some normal marbles for sale if all goes well.
Normal? Mate, we've worked out marbles aren't normal.
I know. We'll save that for another podcast.
That's probably on last week's podcast. Nah, I think we all need another 2-3 years. Now we're all aware that marbles might be different and there's a lot more to them. I think a lot more people are doing more refinement to marbles, wouldn't you say?
I think so.
But anyway, it's good.
Cool.
So, spotted pythons. We've had a few people interested in this. I mean, you know that...
Next little episode of our three-part series.
You know spotted pythons are close to my heart.
The closest.
Yeah, the closest. But, No, I'm really excited for this episode. We've had quite a few people interested in it, so
yeah,
should be good fun. So, Eden, you're probably, we'll say, you're the, well, I don't know how to say it, but you only just pop your maculosa cherry, so what's your first experience with the spotted pythons?
As you guys, most of you guys probably know, I've been keeping snakes for about 6 years now, but only recently got a pair of platinums off Peter Birch. That was my first pair of Max.
You got through to Peter Birch?
I did.
Really?
It's a little bit tricky, but we got there.
we love Pete, so we're just taking the piss, but nah. The trickiest to message JoJo. Nah, that's how good. He's got some amazing snakes. So what's the...
I'm stoked with them, yeah.
They're awesome snakes. Apparently they're yearlings and they're fucking huge.
Biggest yearlings I've ever seen.
I don't know what that dude's doing. He must own a rodent business, I'm saying. Low key plug for Rodent Brothers, although I hear they're sold out. So yeah. Might have to, don't know.
Going pretty well for him by the looks of things.
Yeah, so they're your first Max you got?
They are, yep. I did pick up another little blonde off Guy Hutchings, so that's the beginning.
Wait, that's Het Platinum?
Blonde Het Platinum, some people might get a bit butthurt from that, but I'm confident. We'll have to wait and see next season, though.
We'll talk about that a little bit later, won't we? The old Platinum Gene.
Yes.
So...
a little bit of a stir today, that one.
Yeah, I know. You posted the pictures very early this morning.
I know.
I saw you on the security cameras come in the snake room, pick up the camera, and I was like, what's he taking pictures of? And obviously... the quarantine room's a bit bigger than all the other rooms, so I was like, where's he going? But straight to the platinums. Sorry, guys, just pouring a drink. So, unlike Eden,
when did you get your first?
My first snake? Spotted mate. So my first snake that a lot of people know is a green tree snake.
Yep.
My second snake was a spotted python, so I was probably about 7 years old.
Yep.
I named him Bestie. He was a... He was just a normal, best friend. He was, that's what happens when you're a fat kid. He was awesome little snake that was a girl for ages, and it was a boy, so called him Bestie.
Probably you don't have him to this day?
Nah. When we ended up selling up, mate, I got rid of everything. I was a young kid. And,
yeah, that happens, I guess.
Oh, you know what? He was an awesome snake. He learned us, taught us a lot. Taught us that you could cohabit a spider with a diamond and a coastal in the jungle, but he was an awesome snake. I remember our first setup kept him in a glass tank with sand and
nice.
But mate, it just shows that Max are just absolutely bulletproof. Back then when I got him, I think they were also known as small blotch pythons, eastern small blotch pythons. Yeah. But from then, obviously, like I said, diamonds took over my life.
Gecko, what was that diamond that bit you on the face? How old were you then?
I would have been about 9 Christmas Eve and ended up rocking up to Christmas Eve with a big fucking black lip and black eye. And
crazy stuff.
Good fun. Last time I caught, I think that's one of the last big carpet bites I've caught. But Bestie was probably my first spotty and just a normal.
Yep.
Which you don't find very often these days, just a normal Mac. But then my second one of Mac, surprisingly, would have been probably when I was just had my red peas, 17 years old.
Yep.
Spent big and bought an unfeeding pair of head out Macs. Fell in love with the out Macs. Where it all
started.
You know what? When people say that shouldn't be done, can't be done, they're dodgy morph, never going to go anywhere with it, I said, wish me luck. You watch, that's what I said basically. And then ever since there, it's just kicked off.
Yeah.
To where we are now. The
past couple of seasons have really started to look good for you.
So, I mean, that's really exciting. But
definitely. Bigger, better things to come.
So, I just mentioned those Macs I just bought, head Alb. So, we obviously got the Albino gene in the Macs.
Yep.
What else we got?
But the Platinum.
You're obviously not the Mac guy, but let's see how much you know. So we've got the Albs.
You got the Albs, the Granites, Platinums, Stripes.
Stripes, yep. I haven't worked a lot with them. I'd like to have a couple of
I don't know how, I think people Pete said
maybe a bit polygenic, but then
some genetic.
I'm pretty sure there's some genetic line stripes. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but
you've got a pretty nicely striped female that doesn't throw any striped babies, so Have you paired her offspring back together at all?
Mate, that was one of the years that I was moving house a bit and had to sell all the bread, so
okay.
Didn't keep anything back, but this year we got a pretty exciting partner for her this year. So it should be good fun. But so what else we got? Stripe,
the Granite, the Platinum, the Alb, probably some of the...
You're smiling at me. You can't say that one yet. Nah, wait a couple more. A little bit longer. What else we got?
Black.
Black, Max. Yeah. So you got black. So you can either say Xanthic or Hyper. Like with a couple of other things, it's in the making. One day it'll happen, whether it be black, Hyper, or Xanthic. One or the other.
Yeah, I don't know.
When I say black, I mean Xanthic, but...
Have you got any other little things hiding away in your pocket somewhere, or is that pretty much it for the...
I mean, and then you've obviously got, like, your blondes. Obviously, one of my favourites, the blondes. Is that all the morphs for the Max?
I think so. I think
it is. There's a few, but it doesn't sound like a lot when we say it quickly.
Yeah.
So what are those? Do you work with just the Platinums?
For the moment, the Platinums and the blonde.
The blonde het.
Het Platinum. I'll just call it a blonde for everyone out there.
Let's call it a blonde. Yeah, so I think out of all those, I've got... Everything, I think. Got Granites here. Got a nice Granite male and a couple of Poss hats. I scaled down the Granites for a little bit there.
Yeah, just a couple of Albinos as well. Nothing too major.
A couple. Yeah, got a couple of Albs, adults, Hatchies, Yearlings. Got a fair few hats. Het blonde head Albinos, and then normal blondes. Got
some crackers out last season.
Yeah. Oh, man, one of my highlights last season.
So much variance.
Highlights last season was I paired a possible Het blonde... Possible head albino blonde.
Yep.
To an albino. I got an entire clutch of blondes. No albino, so obviously she proved out to be a normal, but a blonde. Every single hatchie came out blonde. Every single one. That's awesome. Every single one fed straight off the back.
Really?
No issues.
You had a couple of good clutches like that.
And you know what? Half of them went more of like a silvery blonde, almost like a low-grade platinum. I'm not going to say they're platinum, but that's the kind of what I'm imagining. Yeah, and the other half went more of like an orange.
Okay.
Yes, there was a couple that had a bit of dirtings between the pattern, and I only got eight, and six of them are here, and I've sold two.
Yep.
So, like, I've got a fair few here to work with. I've also got a couple... I could talk all day about the Max, eh? Like, just the variation in colour.
So much stuff going on with them.
I also got... I posted a picture the other day. I got dark 100% head albs. I got 100% head albs that hatch out with, like, a green tinge, and then almost, like, a silvery now.
And over the past few seasons, I remember, I think, probably, what was it, the 2018 season, you hatched that one purpley-looking...
Yeah, 2018, I hatched out from my original pair of Kate York head albs, to Kate York head albs.
And that was the only one. I hatched
out a reduced pattern, and it literally was almost purple.
For the first few months.
Yeah, I grew it up. I kept it till it's about an 18-month old, and then obviously my reduced pattern blondes and the albinos. I prefer to move the project onto someone that's actually going to work with it, and that's who I moved it onto.
Yeah.
Someone that's actually going to work for that, whereas for me... As much as I do love the reduced pattern and the blonde and everything like that, I can't work with everything.
No, that's
right. So I really have to really be very selective of what traits I'm going for, whether it be the blondes, even within the blondes, whether you're going for the orange blondes or the silver blondes.
Yeah.
I've got to kind of be very selective of what I'm going for. So, but yeah, I could talk all day about, even just with the variants of... colours and patterns.
No, that's all right, definitely.
But the blondes... Small
blotches, big blotches.
I remember when I was getting into the snakes, the blondes, they had like a... I think it was Doolittle Farm. They really kind of were leading the way with the blondes. And they had a blonde that they call the chocolate form.
Yeah, I remember watching the videos.
I showed you the video literally the other week.
Yeah.
And they had another video. What was it? The chocolate form, and then they had another form. But they had one that had like a real nice brown pattern, which you see more so these days. But they also had blondes... that had real black and real jet black pattern, which this season I'm stoked because I hatched one of them out. That's one of my highlights of this season that, because I just haven't seen one in so long. A real nice blonde base and with a real black pattern. I haven't seen that in so long, and I'm really excited to work with that and keep it back, and hopefully I can bring it out to be head out.
That'd be pretty cool if you could do that.
So, what other morphs we got? We got... So that's the albs and the blondes. Yeah, I know. Like I said, we've got the granites. We've got the platinums. Between Eden, you've got a lot of... you've got the trio of the birch line. And then I've got... What have I got? I've got a female from the birch line. Female. But then I've also got an A-grade platinum and probably a B-grade... B-grade platinum posset granite.
Yep, so that could be interesting.
I think he's Mitch Daly, Mitch Animalia his name is.
Mitch Morelia now,
I think. Morelia. Did he change Morelia?
I think so.
He's not a real ant guy then, is he? No, I love Mitch. He's cool. Got a number of his animals down here, some new blood. But that platinum granite he cracked was absolutely stunning. He's kind of thrown me a curveball because he's sent me down platinums and granites. So which do I pursue? Do I pursue the granites or do I pursue the platinum granite? We'll try and do both. But the platinums are stunning. So I'm really excited. We had a bit of a post today going on. I think it's the Antaresia. Was it Python's Morse page or Morse and Python's?
Oh, I'd have to double check. I posted on a couple of
Either posts. Way, it's one of the newer ant groups that's been around for about the last 6 to 8 months. And we had a bit of a discussion going on it. So... You've got a number of different lines of platinums. Like I said, Eden and I, we literally have been only getting into the platinums the last probably year. So they've been around for years, the platinums, but we haven't had much experience with them. So we can't comment on what they are. Mitch reckons that his line's incomplete dominant, and Birchie reckons that his is recessive. So what we're going to do is we're going to take each line, and we're going to stick to each line, and we're going to try and work out what each line is, and then we might eventually cross it one day. But for where it lies now, no matter what it is for us, we love the morph. We love the snakes that it produces. Either way, there's
lots of potential with them. We can do
it. We are extremely happy with it. So, And what else we got? We've got blondes, granites, albinos. We didn't really talk much about what albinos we got.
No, well, I'll leave that up to you. That's your demand.
I know you've been wanting albinos for the last few years, but I think you're a bit scared of them, eh?
Oh.
No, you are. Let's be honest. You were keen as of an albino, and then when you saw
I'm waiting for my hit pair from you.
You saw half of them ended up in Iceland, and then you were a bit scared, weren't you?
Oh no, I've seen what you've done with them over the past few seasons. I reckon there's lots of potential, and just you got to put time into them like anything if you really want to make it work.
So
everything comes easy.
Yeah, as you said, you got to put time into it. The albinos...
What are you...
Are a hard one. They're a very hard one.
Yeah, definitely. But are you excited to put some... Keep with speaking with the Max, like putting platinums into albinos and...
Obviously, right, the so grounded albs. You kind of... The Max are very hard. Entries as a whole is very hard because we're... Even though they've been, some of these morphs have been around for years, we're still very early days.
It is.
Marbles have been around for a few years now, but we're only literally coming to the point now where we all realise that there's a lot more to them. Yep. Same as the platinums and the albinos, mate. We're, everyone that hatched one at the start, yeah, you get an occasional good one, but a lot of them came out kinked.
Yeah.
So we're just really getting to the point now where we can sit there and go, okay, let's work with them.
That's right, yeah.
We can do selective pairings. Like, we still don't know what pattern hets will give us what pattern nabs. We don't know.
No.
So, obviously, the early days of the albinos, a lot of them hatched out kinked, missing organs, missing eyes.
Yep.
I'm at a point now where every single albino I hatch isn't kinked.
Yeah.
All healthy. But.
They're not all.
But.
The big
they all part. They all come out looking healthy.
Yeah.
But what I found last season is that a small percentage of them would crawl out of the egg and then with the, after doing our happy dance within 24 hours, they pass away. Now, what does that tell me is that there's still work to do.
Yep.
So what do I do? This season, I'm putting selective males over selective females to work out what pairing really clicks. I'm also doing pairings that take away... that are the most furthest away from the original our male, Rodney.
So you use it.
So I'm trying to do outcross lines, but I'm also trying to not do related lines.
Yep.
So I'm trying to take them as far away as in relation as possible.
That makes sense. That's the best way to go about it.
Every single albino max is going to be to some percentage related to Rodney, of course. But you know what? We've got some lines that are related outcross by 10 generations and some that are outcross by 2.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm just trying to... I'm doing a lot more selective this year so that we can... work out what actually really clicks. And for, I mean, if I... Last season, the issue was that I was rotating 2 or 3... I think it was 2 our males, because my other male wasn't up to size and wasn't getting the job done.
Yep.
I was rotating 2 albino males over all the het girls. Some het girls had perfect clutches and perfect albs. Other girls slugged out. Other girls had
half had a clutch huge, of... huge clutches that didn't end up going the full distance. So.
Exactly. So this year, I'm doing more selective, and hopefully, I'll be able to work it out from there.
Fine-tuning, like we always say.
But then as soon as you start getting healthy albs out and you get it regularly, that's when you can start working it into the other morphs.
Yeah.
You and I are both very excited. I mean, Max is such a amazing species and the amount of morphs we have in them, pure Max. You can do platinum albinos, striped albinos, which Peter Birch has already done, which are absolutely amazing. I mean, if you crack out, there's rumours of exanthics in the Max, which is meaning exanthic albinos are snows. There's rumours of hypo, which hypo to albino would be sunglows.
That's correct.
Granite albinos. They've been around, both these morphs have been around for
granite
years.
Albs are something I'm excited to see.
Oh, mate.
They've probably been done somewhere down there.
Apparently they will die.
Really?
Because everyone was using weak albinos.
Yeah, okay. Well, people rushing
I mean,
to get
yeah, exactly. I mean, then what you got to do is you got to pick the strongest albs, the strongest granites.
Take your time and not be greedy.
I think because all the granites that came in were the original first imports, and they weren't... If people outcrossed them at the start and then put the outcrossed offspring to the outcrossed albinos... I remember, like, years ago, people saying, you're not going to be able to get out of the albino... Like, the albino max, they hatched out kinked. They're always going to be... They're always going to be kinked. You can't outbreed it. You know what? I said, you know what? I'm going to try, guys. And so far, so good.
Yeah, definitely.
I've got... Out of all the Macs that I hatched out last season, I think I hatched out about 15, 20 that survived. I've got 3 left that don't eat. So that just shows that they're like any other hatchie. They generally eat. I've got a few more hets than anything else that don't eat. But I mean, it's a part of the game when you breed more. And I had one of the albinos eat the other week for the first time. And
Came running into my bedroom, mate, doing your happy dance.
I was sliding around on the floors. I was ecstatic that we got that going. But yeah... So, yeah, good.
Cool.
But, I mean, there's so much more potential. Blonde albinos, I mean, everyone's got... We're just getting to the point now where a couple of people have got actual legit blonde that are 100% head albino. I said albino. Been hanging out with the albino. Americans too much. Albino, caramel. What else is there? Jaguar. Anyway, yeah, so I'm just excited to see what it can produce. Making sure that little, they're still in there, little granites. But we've got a couple of questions through this week. So we've got a couple of things that have popped up and a couple of questions, but I'll start with the questions. So someone said, hey, I have a spotted python. I'm not sure of its age or sex. Also, what's the best bedding for them? My mate said just use cat litter or newspaper. Jeez, guys. So,
personal preference to an extent, I guess. Like, I've used probably all of those.
You and I are very similar with everything we do, just quietly. Because when I get stuff and you get stuff, and I you get stuff and I get it. But for a spotted python, not sure of its age and sex. Age is one of those things. You can smash a hatchie and get it to a 2-year-old size in a year, or you can slow feed it. Age, we can't help you on, mate, sorry. Sex, you're best off taking it to your closest reptile vet.
Or someone that knows what they're doing.
Or a reptile breeder that knows what they're doing. Yep. And generally, if it's an older snake, you probe it. Hatchies, we pop, all from the minute they have their first shed. As far as substrate, everything in our rooms right now, we keep on paper towel.
Smaller stuff, sort of 18 months and under, is paper towel.
And the smaller tubs. And then all the big tubs are kept on butcher's paper.
In the V70s, though.
The scrub is kept on Critter's Crumble. That's because it shits everywhere. But
yeah.
We have tried things like Breeder's Choice cat litter, the recycled stuff, Critter's Crumble. What else we tried? The Pura Chips. We love it all. Spot cleaning is awesome, and it's a really good way to save time. Although what can happen is that you lose time when you feed rodents, because if you feed rodents that are wet and
that's the problem I have with it. They ingest a few little bits.
You know what? They ingest, they normally just poop it out, but occasionally you do get a little bit of, for example, Pura Chips or a little bit of Critter's Crumble. It gets stuck in the bottom jaw, and then it never ends well.
I didn't have any serious problems with it, but just a bit painful when you've got to pick little bits out of their mouth.
Especially what do they say? The best cure is prevention. If you prevent it in the first place, it won't happen, and you don't need to fix it.
Can't go wrong with butcher's paper.
Exactly right. Well, you can, except they get real dirty. Another question we have is, are spotted snappy as hatchies?
I think any hatchies, not
any single hatchie snappy.
You're probably going to get bitten at least once by any given hatchie, for the most part.
If you're going to get bitten by any hatchie, a spotted's probably the best. Spotted or children's.
I found the stimmies this season to be mellow, as they didn't touch me.
You know what? I think, well, this isn't a stimmy episode, that's next week, so we'll touch on next week. But I find the very early generations from the wild stimmies are very placid and don't like eating.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, Mackies generally tend to be a little bit more snappy as hatchies, but then they calm down pretty quickly. We've got some awesome, like the Cape York, my original Cape York hets. I think the female's sitting at about 1.3, 1.4 kilo.
Yep.
Wait, what question's going on the page?
Just got a new question come through.
Okay. Read that in a second. Let's just finish on this one. Where was I? Well, yeah, 1.4 kilo Cape York blondes, 1.3, 1.4, and they're about 5, 6 foot, and they're mellow as long as... Because we're open tubs and we generally feed them a lot of the... We're either feeding or cleaning.
Yeah.
But more times than not, they try and stay optimistic and think they're getting fed. But they'll try and snap us. But the minute they know there's no food, they're fine to get out. There's only one or two spotted that I'll get out and they'll still try and smash me.
Yeah, no, that's right.
So what was that question we got in?
So we just had a question come through on our little thread we've got going on the Platinums. James Smith is asking, or is saying, I'm still trying to figure out how to get my plats to even breed. Nothing for 3 years, been in with two different males and a female.
So, first thing you'd look... What was his name, sorry?
James.
So, James, first thing you'd want to look at is, do you have two males and a female? You want to get a reputable breeder to sex them? So many times, a lot of us have had it happen. I'm a bit OCD with making sure I've got boys and girls before they even go in. Eden, for example, he's got a wheat belt there that keeps combating the boys, but we keep sexing and it's a girl. So,
it's one of those things.
It's one of those things. I've had males probe not very much, and they turn out to be males, whatever it is.
Yep.
So, first thing, you've got to make sure you've got any correct sexes. Secondly, it's persistence. I find a lot of males that won't breed with girls, you just got to keep trying. Worst comes to worst, if they still won't breed, chuck another male shed in. You got to think, if all this fails, the last thing I would do, and I know it's very hard to do, get a proven male.
Yeah.
Or even if you've got two male platinums and a female platinum and they're not mating together, try and put your males to a proven breeder female, or try and get a proven breeder male and put it to your female, work it out once and for all. You know? Like, there's obviously something that's triggering not to breed.
No, that's right.
Entries are very easy to breed, but sometimes they're a little bit picky. So look at how you're setting up the breedings. Like, are you cycling them properly? Some of them actually do need to be cooled a little bit more than anyone else.
Yeah, every snake's going to be different to some extent, so...
Cool. So, what's the best age and size to breed? We're going to touch on that soon about the breeding and keeping, but...
Yeah.
General rule, best age... 16 age. To 20 months, generally 18 months. I say you get late hatchies and early hatchies.
Yeah.
18 months that. Average.
If they've got a decent amount of size on them and they're sort of sitting at the 18 month mark.
Mackies generally 3 to 3. I like them over probably 350. I do have a couple that are sitting there around 320. I'll try those girls this year. I've done it. I always use 300 plus, but then I always add 50 grams just for the safety of the females.
Yeah. Okay.
So, we've got another question. What produces the best looking albinos? Blondes or darker spotteds? Eden?
I'll leave that to you, mate.
So, I find that the darker looking spotteds produce, not all the time, but a lot of the time they produce more snow looking babies.
Okay.
I put a post up the other day, may have triggered a couple of people. But I said it's going to be snowing this year because I had a hatchie that literally hatched out. It was an albino and it was literally white and silver. It was from the blackest mac I've ever seen. Literally, darkest mac I've ever seen.
Okay.
Could be exanthic. I don't know. I haven't proved it out yet.
Another one to add to the list.
But generally, the darker the mac, the whiter the baby. The blondes, I haven't had enough experience with in producing.
This season,
season
should give you a little bit more clarity on that because you've got... few more bits going on.
It'd be good if my posset blondes that I produced a couple of years ago proved out to be albino. That'd be able to work it out. But
how many posset pairings have you got this season that are
every year out? I do a couple head-to-heads, unrelated head-to-heads, and every year I keep a couple of possets back. I know they're possible het, and they're awesome to prove out. Last season I think I bred about 4 of them. Oh no, actually. 4 from just normally albinos, and then I had a couple more that had some extra other funky stuff in it.
Yeah.
And out of them, I proved one slugged out, one proved out, one didn't.
Okay.
All the other ones, I think two... Actually, no, I think I bred 3 of them last season, possets. One didn't prove out the blonde, one proved out, and then one didn't breed.
Okay.
So... if it does, like that one that didn't breed is the darkest mac I've ever seen, and I've also got the blondest macs I've ever seen that are also all posset. So we should be interesting season everything as far as what produces what. And as I said earlier, we're doing more selective pairings this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to be extra
vigilant.
Far out. It's been a long day. I want to make sure I select every single hatchie. I want to be a hoarder this year. Well, not that I'm already... but I'm going to keep more hatchies back this year to try and the albinos colour up. I mean, a lot of people sell a lot of albinos too soon. That was me. But I did keep... I think I produced 15, 20, and I think I've got about 7 to 8 held back here. So, it's pretty cool. But
awesome stuff.
Another question. What's your thoughts on platinums? We'll touch on that in a minute. But my girlfriend and I have a spotted python each. One is a het blonde platinum. Ooh, het blonde platinum.
I wonder where that came from.
Or maybe that's a blonde het platinum. And the other is a platinum. They're both still young, but when is the best time to introduce them to each other? I figure if we introduce them when they're younger, it'll increase the chances for successful breeding when they're older. So we'll just start. We'll work that question in to how do we breed and keep max. What do you reckon?
Yeah, for the most part, I'd say I personally think it's probably pretty useless putting them together unless they're sort of at that, around that 300 gram-ish mark. Otherwise, they're just going to be not really doing too much. I don't think they're going to remember each other, for instance, another year down the track.
No, they're snakes. So, Hatchie Mac, the minute, like we said last week with the children's, all our holdbacks are the same. The minute they hatch out, we generally decide what we're going to keep. And then throughout, when they grow and colour up, we then decide, okay, we're going to move you on, we're going to move you on, because it's not taking the direction we want. We generally start our hatchies out in vision tubs. This season we're going to start, I think it's a 5-litre reject top shop. Reject.
Jesus, you're all over the place tonight.
Tubs. No, I can never say it. Far out.
Gets you every week.
I'm going to find out how many litres they are exactly next week. We're all in here, actually. How many litres is it?
Specifications.
Oh, I'll measure it. No,
it'll sticker be on the bottom.
No, sticker on the bottom, mate. It's on the side. I think it's 5-litre. Anyway, it's $3 each from reject shop.
Can't go wrong.
We'll start them out in that. We'll start everything out on pinky mice. We then, after they probably have about 6 to 7 pinky mice, we'll start moving them on to the next size up.
Being fuzzy pinkies,
velvets to fuzzies.
Yep.
From fuzzies, I'll generally start just giving fuzzies, and then eventually I'll just bump it up to bloody hoppers or wieners.
Then when they get to that sort of stage, you can really start putting it into them.
I've got snakes that hoppers don't leave a dent, and I just go, stuff you, here's an adult mouse.
What's the biggest feed item you've ever fed to a hatchie straight off the bat?
Oh, pinky rat. That's pinky biggest, rat. Biggest. Jesus. But the biggest, I fed, I think I've got about 10 holebacks from last season.
Yeah.
That I fed adult mice to this week, and they all smashed it, and they all left a good lump. So we try and get them on adult mice as quickly as possible. As soon as we're on quick adult mice, we just start loading them up. When they're on probably the smaller size mice, we'll go every 3 to 4 days.
Yep.
When they're on adult mice, maybe every 5 days.
Yeah, probably. Weekly for me, I find. If they're eating something that size, they're still going to be packing on the way.
But then eventually they get to a size where an adult mouse is only leaving a lump for a day or two, and then they're good. Right. So then we either increase the food frequency, or we just start giving them. We offer them occasionally, what would you call it? Fuzzy rats, would it?
Mm.
Pinky fuzzy hopper rats. I think they're hopper rats.
Yeah,
they're about the same size as adults.
Jumbo mice, maybe.
Yeah. So hopper rats. Not all of them take it. That was a question from last week from Trent.
If they do, that's a bonus.
If they do, it's a bonus. A bit of extra bone density, but it's not an issue. We like to get our... So right now, a lot of our hatchies, we're just started pairing up our adults. A lot of the hatchies that we produced last season are smashing adult mice. About half of them are smashing adult mice. So we like to get them up to a size where they're probably about 100, 150 grams right now. Last season's hatchies.
That's ideal, yeah.
And then over the cool... Because they're going to feel... Even if you pump the racks with heat, they're still going to feel the cold temp.
Yeah.
We're quite lucky where we've got a lot of our racks that are pumping with heat. We've also got the room doesn't drop that low.
Keeps the room pretty stable.
And we've also got a couple of our racks with, we can like close the shutters on them.
Oh, that's right.
They maintain the heat. But if we do that, even if they do slow down the frequency to every 5 to 10 days, as soon as the summer kicks back in, spring and summer kick back in, we can start absolutely whacking them again with food, but they're already pretty much up to breeding size.
Yeah.
So then that way we can just cruise them through Christmas, 1st of January, flick the switch again, smash them with food, I just go between that, smash them with food, then a week or two to get hungry again, smash them with food, then a week or two to clear out again, and then smash them with food.
Yeah, that's right.
That seems to generally work. And then like we said earlier, 3 to 350 for max. I like to breed.
Yeah.
Males, probably... 100, I think last season it was 100, 110 grams. I did a stimmy at 110. I think my other male, that my smallest Mac, was a possible het male with a little bit of extra in him.
A little bit.
It proved out het, but a little bit extra, can't say yet. But I think he was about 100, 105 grams. He was tiny.
Yeah, so that's pretty small for a Mac.
And again, for that question about pairing them young, I wouldn't do it because your main focus is getting size on them.
Yeah, no, especially not the females. The males, if you can.
I mean, you can do a trial and error for the males, but I wouldn't do it. Your main focus is trying to get food into them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no point. You breed them at 8 months anyway. It's a pretty short turnaround.
Yeah.
So, and then where we are now. I did my first pairing yesterday.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Good. So, like I said earlier, I've got 6-7 pairings together and got about 4 lockups. So, a couple of the young males still didn't get the hang of it, but they will.
But that's right, early days still.
I think January, February, March, April, March. I think the end of March is last feed. April, I start clearing out and dropping the food. And then we're at the end of April right now in New South Wales. And the temps are probably about 19 to 21. The snake room,
haven't dropped as much as sort of last year around this time. I feel like they're a little bit colder.
A week and a half ago, it dropped real cold. Remember, we were talking about it. And that's it when you started pairing.
Yeah.
It started to creep back up, but we do have rain now with that atmospheric pressure. I know the rancheries, you can literally breed them any time of the year, really.
Certain things are going to trigger them.
But it just helps trigger them that little bit more, the rain. So that's why I paired now. I think last season I paired them on the 21st, and what's today, the 27th?
27th,
yep. About 6 days later. I said I'm going to do them a month later, but I get excited. I jump the gun.
It's a bit hard when it's this time of year, you get...
You get itchy feet.
Yeah.
You know, you just want to jump in and just dive into it. But then, I was trying to tell Eden when he started doing pairings 6 months ago. I was trying to tell him, I'm joking, about 2 weeks ago. I was trying to tell him that, mate, you're pairing stimmies together and the first clutch of stimmies we got last year was September. So, we're in the fourth month. So, we literally have 5 months to you expecting a clutch, which is...
That's me jumping the gun, getting excited.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. As long as you give your males adequate rest, you want to close that window, it's a bit rainy.
Pissing down. Out of nowhere.
Mind the window, guys.
WD-40.
Yeah. But yeah, we jump the gun. As long as you give the males adequate rest, we're telling a few people earlier. Early on the cycling, I like to give the boys 1 to 2 days in. If they lock up, I'll give them 2 days. If they're not locked up, I'll give them one, and then 2 to 3 days
gradually
out.
Increase.
Move on with the next female, and then, yeah, if they struggle to mate and they're not keen on it, I'll chuck another male shed in, or I wouldn't advise it for the beginners, but I even sometimes pop the old sperm plugs out, rub them on females' backs.
That's one of your favourite tricks.
I love that. Love getting sperm on my fingers.
I know you do.
But, yeah, what I do is I pop the sperm from another male and I rub it on the female's back that the male's going into, and then the male will come in and smell the sperm and just absolutely lose it.
Yeah.
But you got to be careful with some males. I had a granite probably
three, four years ago.
It
was angry.
Just chewed on every girl. Just chewed on them. I was seeing, last night lying in bed, I was just thinking about that granite and how one day, like, oh, it was, I was mortified and I was upset about it, but he like proper chewed on a female's tail.
Yeah.
You know what? Talking about dreams.
I've
been meaning to say it.
Oh no, I was waiting
for
this to come.
Eden's. Just so everyone knows, it's not me that listened to him. Because obviously, then people would say something, not that there's anything wrong with that. But Eden's partner the other night came running into the room going, "Guys, guys, guess what? Guess what?" I'm like, "What?" To me and my girlfriend. And she goes, "Eden just was sleep talking." "Oh, really?" She goes, "Never guess what he said." And he goes, "Oh, what was it?" "Oh, Bella, the tricolour stimmy isn't ready yet." So that's how committed we are to produce a nice snake to you guys. Up. Even sleep talking about
our
parents.
Before you fall asleep.
But how good's that? How funny. So that's the general breeding of them. And then generally, I think early September last season was my first... I think August was the earliest when we got children's clutches.
Yep.
September was the earliest. Early September, I got my first mat clutch.
Yeah, cool.
And generally, this year I'm going to have between 30.5 on a couple of the shelves and then 32 on some shelves. I'm going to try a couple of different temps this year. Not that it's going to make much of a difference, but generally 48 to 60 days the max will hatch out and you'll have awesome little hatchies that don't like to feed for you.
Lovely.
But yeah, just for those that are interested, generally I'll pair the... What I'll do is I'll... Pair. Why do I say pair? I'll let the hatchies come out of the eggs, leave them all together. Sometimes it's a very clutch likes to strike. I'll separate them all, but keep them in a damp tub with something
for
to shed on.
For the most part, that's your method, really.
Yep, they'll shed out. Then after they shed, I'll go through with my light and sex all of them, and then just give them their own tub. And then generally, I wait another. 10 to 14 days, and then I'll try and offer them a pinky mouse. If they don't eat it straight away, I won't stress.
Yeah, I usually wait about a week just because I'm excited to see if anything's going to take it straight off the bat.
Mm.
You have a little bit of success for the most part sometimes, but
There's so all clutches many,
are different.
There's so many different methods, mate. Yeah, there is. Whether you try pinks, you try sending the pinks, you try lies, you try... That's generally our first go-to. We'll offer frozen pinks.
Yep.
Worst case, we'll chuck live pinks in. And then after live pinks...
A few other little methods you can try.
Oh, back in the early days, I used to do scenting, but not anymore. I don't have time for it.
Yeah.
Worst comes to worst, I'll just... Yeah, I am busy. When you got 200 to 400 hatches, last season was pretty big. Had a fair bit of chaos with a couple of clutches getting mulled and stuff. So I still ended up with about 100. This season's looking a bit different. But I generally just chuck it out, tailed straight down their throat. When I get a little bit more time and I got a lot more hatches feeding, I'll sometimes do. I think Faye put a video up a couple of, I don't know if it was about a year ago, where she tied a pinky onto the end of a tail.
That was a few years back, I think.
Yeah, I think it was.
She and made it look bloody easy.
Oh, mate, I tell you what, some of these snakes absolutely love it, and I've had a lot of success doing that, and then the snakes eventually learn. Because the idea is you tie a pinky to the end of a tail, you force feed the tail down, and then they finish eating the tail and the pinky.
Yep.
That's the idea behind it. So you're teaching them how to eat.
Getting used to it.
I've had a lot of success with a couple of heads and a couple of abs to get eating that way. Yeah, That's how they got the last ab eating.
Even just the tails, I think we touched on that in the first or second episode.
You had great success with the stimmies eating the tail, they didn't you?
I had a whole, well not a whole, I'll say half a clutch of stimmies that weren't touching food, weren't interested, and gave them a few tails off the jumbo mice, and for the most part, I think pretty much all of them, after doing that once or twice, they ate grey guns for me. So that's something I'll be doing again this season if need be. I'd say more than likely it will. But yeah.
Sorry, I'm just trying to read some notes I had and some things that are going on Facebook. So this is why it's occasionally good to do live stream, because we never interact with the fiends. Although Eden Nice Headers isn't really ready for live streams lately. We're pretty out of it. Busy people.
That's right.
So, that's the breeding and keeping of maculosa. Eterese maculosa. I've had a few people the last few weeks. I posted that cage for sale, the Melamine 3-footer. And I said, oh yeah, you know, you kept ants in it. And someone goes, ants? ? Just so everyone knows, ants, when we say ants, it's Antaresia. Not actual little ants. I used to work with someone that used to keep and colonise ants.
I used to have a little ant colony when I was really? 6 years
you
old.
Know, you know queens are worth quite a bit.
Are they? I wouldn't know. I just got a little birthday present. So.
It's actually like a full ant hobby. Not Antaresia. Ant, like the little insects.
Yeah, yeah.
What are they called? Anthropods or something? I don't bloody know. Don't get I'm too technical on me. I'm a reptile person.
Peter Street might know.
That was Peter Street. He actually set us up with a couple of mice, a couple of strays.
Bloody legend always helping us out.
Huge shout out to Peter Street. We've got a couple of different mice lines in, all obviously separate right now until they settle in and quarantine passes on them. But we obviously got some off Pete and then a couple of Troy... Bromie.
Yep.
And then I got a couple of Tristan. He's a legend. So he's they're all apparently lab line, but it'd be interesting to see the difference.
That's right. In the
lines. And obviously we've got a couple of different methods we're trying with them. Yeah, but it's
pretty new to us, so.
So this week, today, we've been talking about platinums.
Topic of the day.
Professor Platinum Eden. Give us your take on them. I've got my take.
Oh,
you have to. You've been researching them for a week. You're an expert. What are we thinking? We touched on it earlier. But so, honestly, the post is still going off right now with Mitch and Darren.
Darren, yep. So, I don't know. I think Philip, they've got to originate somewhere. So people are saying they've got a couple of there's a few different lines going around, and that may be true. But to me, they've all had to originate somewhere, and Peter Birch, who I bought them off, he's hell bent on them being recessive, so I think he's worked with them a fair bit.
Okay.
Enough to say that that's what they are. I can't obviously I'm taking his word for it, but a lot of people out there saying that that's not the case and they're something else. So I guess we're going to have to play around with him a little bit over this season and next season and
see what results we get to really...
So that's exactly it. So, reading Darren's comment, he's talking how... Apparently there's a few different lines, but from what I'm aware, and even what Darren Whittaker said, Darren Whittaker, we'll call him Professor Silver Pepper. Awesome fella, by the way. Love Darren. Apparently they all came from the Tremaine Anderson line.
Yeah.
And I had someone call me today called by the name of Bob Withy. A lot of people know him. And he said the same thing. They all came from Tremaine. Now, a lot of people have worked with them over the years. A lot of people. A lot of big breeders. And the results they had were just so varied. And they didn't know. From reading Darren's comment, he said that Peter couldn't work out the results and he had such mix that he just said recessive. He just said polygenic until he could work it out. We know Pete, Peter Birch. We've had Easter long weekend, he came around, we had a chat for a few hours, and awesome guy, full of knowledge. He's been around ants for how long? 20, 30 years?
Yeah, something crazy like that.
He knows what he's talking about, and from what he says, it's recessive. Which meaning...
He's been working with them pretty much since they came about, I think. So
with a lot of uncertainty around it, Eden and I's plan is to put a visual platinum over a complete normal, no blonde, no nothing to it.
Stock standard
wild type blonde, even though we don't have many of them. We're going to put it to that. Let me just check that it's still recording. We're at 46 minutes, so cool. Still got a bit of talking to do.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we can record for hours, but I think after an hour it cuts, and then we have to merge them together. Yeah. But anyway, back on topic. Not that we have many normals around in our collection, but we do have one or two kicking.
Yep.
That big Macapaca girl.
She's a monster.
And I think we also got a couple of...
Fingers crossed we get a nice big clutch from her if...
But anyway, back on topic. So we're going to put the platinum to them.
Yep.
And what we have to do, if it's recessive, if all the babies come out from that clutch, all normal, we have to put the ugliest of the ugliest babies together, head to head.
And hope that...
And speaking about odds, 1 in 4 should be stunning platinums.
Yep.
From what I gather, the vision of the polymorphic, I think it is. So you've got absolutely amazing visuals, and you've also got visuals that are very, very low grade.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the A and B grades come in.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I gather. A lot of people, when they get into the platinums, though, they buy pairs and they just do platinum and platinum, and then if we're looking at the recessive part of it, then it's visual to visual and all visual.
Yeah.
And then they sell some as A's, some as B's, because you have low grade visuals and high grade visuals.
That's right, yeah.
But I mean, if you're looking at that, Troy Broomy, his hypos that are looking recessive, I've spoke to him and he reckons he has high grade hypos and low grade hypos. Yep. So it's exactly the same.
Yeah, that's right.
Recessive or not, hypo breadline, you have really high grade hypo breadline and really some low grade.
More black through them.
It's just exactly the same. And albino Darwins, you look and you've got high grade albino Darwins and low grade, but I think the difference with them is people call them high contrast and low contrast.
Yeah, you got the...
It's not really a grading because they're still albinos.
No, that's right.
We're still years away from that in the max.
Yeah.
So that's what I gather from if it's recessive.
Either way, I think there's going to be a lot to be done with them, and working them in with the albinos, like we spoke about earlier, I think there's going to be some really exciting stuff coming from all that. Albinos, granites, more platinum granites. Could be pretty interesting for years ahead.
Will be very interesting, mate. I'm very excited for the Max. As you can all tell, I've been sitting in my little dungeon before you, but my little dungeon, working on them for a long time.
Yep.
So, what do you think about the blondes? Obviously, like blondes, you've actually jumped right into Max with your first being platinum.
Just starting, yeah.
It was a pretty big jump. you missed a couple in between being the normals and the platinums and everything. But what
you've worked with and what a few other people have done with them, like I think Progressive Pythons, Kurt Lively.
He's in Pythons Australia. He is a legend, Squirely.
Yeah. Yep. Bloody oath. He had some cracking blondes, I think. I'm not sure if he still has them. I think he might have sold them. But, like, you look at those things and they're, like, crazy clean, gold-looking. And then you see they had stripes as well. But then you look at some other blondes and they're obviously not your standard Mac. They've got that blonde look to them. But I think there's, like anything, different grades and quality, all sorts of stuff going on with them. Even from what you've produced, you've got some with tiny little speckles, you've got some with big blotches and everything in between, so.
Yeah, so with the blondes, obviously, like I said earlier, you've got either the orange or, like, the more silver.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you like, with everything, with the pattern, you can either have big blotches or you can have little blotches. Bob Withy, I mentioned him earlier. He is an absolute legend, which I'm literally going to message right after this. And if he doesn't reply to my message, I'm giving him a call tomorrow.
Yeah.
But he's been working with blondes for a lot of years.
Okay.
I think John Saminos is also another person up in Queensland. I think he got out of it, and Dave Evans got a lot of his blondes. Yeah.
They're some crackers.
But they're some of the most unreal blonde lines I've ever seen.
They're the blondes I'd love to work with if I did get a chance to get into them.
You mentioned Kurt. Kurt and a good friend of his, Jason, they both, Birchie's just reminding me, they both worked on Cape York blondes.
Yep.
And yeah, they're outstanding. I think the same as a John line, they could be the same. I don't know, I'm 21 years old, I don't know how far the lines go back, but from what I gather, the Cape York blondes are huge animals. And then the same as the John Cimino line, they get a kilo plus, and they get literally 5 to 6 foot.
No, that's right.
And if you're working them into the... let's not even say you work them into the other morphs. If you keep them on their own as pure morphs, mate, absolutely stunning.
Yeah, big snakes.
But the issue that I'm having is that there's only so many possets and albs and everything you can keep back before you need to start bringing some new blood in.
That's right.
That's why I'm calling Bob tomorrow. is to get some new blonde blood in. But no, they're absolutely cracking animals. But this Facebook post is still going off just quietly.
I know, I'm keen to have a bit of a read once this is on.
Mitch has latest, obviously Darren said he thought all the platinums originally came from the Tremaine.
Yeah.
Mitch's last reply was that his as far as he's aware, his two lines of platinums he's ever worked on came from wild caught animals.
So by the looks
of things, they look different. So by the looks of it, is that there might be, like the T plus, there might be two different platinum lines. So,
yeah.
Imagine that.
Well, Mitch is saying that he reckons off this comment that there's about three platinum lines, because he's saying he's worked with two and none of them being Pete's. So
Two, if the two he's worked with have come from, have proven out the same, then they could all come from the same animals, just different. He's got a lot of different people. It'd be interesting times. We've got both, like I said earlier, Mitch is a legend, but
even from what I've seen, like, you look at some platinums compared to others, there is a fair bit of variation. Some have more of that yellowy, tan sort of platinum look, whereas some of them are just pure silver.
I look at crazy. Who you got your blonde off, your blonde het platinum in brackets.
Yeah.
Guy, he put a cracker blonde
to a
A-grade platinum, and all the babies came out like blondes.
Really nice blondes.
Really nice blondes.
Yeah, you'd almost call them, if you didn't, you'd almost call
them. I wouldn't
even
call them platinum, just call them nice blondes.
No, yeah.
And I've seen people do the exact same pairing and produce average looking blondes. So it's a very few interesting years with the ants.
Definitely, I think there's a lot to be proven out in the next.
Who was I talking? I think it was Kurt. They're such a small snake that a first pet owner would love them. And as soon as you get one snake, everyone knows you want another. And generally, when you get another, it's a different paint job. It's the next step up. Ants are going to be next level, in my opinion. I love all the carpet guys out there, but ants, honestly, got a big future ahead, I think.
They really seem to be taking off the past couple of seasons with people getting into them. And
yeah. I was listening to the Morelia Python radio today. And they were saying how they believe that the carpet pythons are carpet pythons in Australia are the equivalent to ball pythons in America. because we don't have ball pythons to work with, everyone tries to do more daring.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could get to that level with the
Saying. Like, the colours you have in balls, that's going to be carpets in 10 years' time.
Endless mutations.
But then I think, what's the Antaresia, Australian Antaresia, what's the equivalent to in America? I think corns. Small, good first pets.
Yeah.
Come in all sorts of colour morphs. In 10 years' time, we're not far behind them, mate. We're knocking on the door of all these new colour mutations and different lines and different combinations.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit off the topic of Max, but what was the new Colin Ray? That's another new one that's popped up this week. The
Pastel.
The Pastel.
So it's far out. We've got 5 minutes on this recording before we're going to have to start over. Like, we're going to have to... Yeah, clipping cool. together. So as far as I'm concerned, Colin Ray's pastel line.
What are your thoughts?
Very nice, thanks. Very nice. Far as I'm aware, about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, he posted a picture and he was calling them hypos.
Hypos, yep.
Each to their own. I haven't talked to him about it, but in his post he said he paired a Het T Plus Pastel to a T Plus, Dimmy.
Yep.
And he produced a Pastel T Plus. So straight away,
which has more of the white base color.
Unless the T Plus was a Het Pastel or whatever it is, it sounds like the pastel morph isn't recessive.
Yep.
Like I said, we're not speaking facts. We're just speaking our thoughts. This is completely freeballing it right now. So. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just a nice polygenic gene. I don't know what it is. Either, it makes an average-looking T-plus Stimmy something amazing.
Yeah,
really. Turns them into absolute clean, cracker animals. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but almost like my T-plus Stimmy male, that orange male.
Well, that's the first thing
I saw. What you said to me, and that's why I'm saying it now, is because, like I said, this is all just in our opinion.
Yep.
He's got clean pattern.
It's got the base colour of it is like a crispy white compared to a more, I don't know what you'd call, like a just sort of a faded out apricot colour, I guess.
You're spot on with that. I think that your normal, like the T Plus is, like some of the normal T Plus Dimmy stuff,
with
very apricot. Low apricot pattern, a little bit of vanilla cream base. We'll talk ice cream. I like ice cream.
Me hungry.
And then you've got this pastel Stimmies, which are almost white base.
But you look at them by themselves, the pastels. He posted a photo of the wild type next to one of the pastels, and there is a noticeable difference there. You wouldn't look at the pastel and say, oh, that's nothing. There's something going on there regardless.
There's something going on, but the thing that... It depends on the mode of inheritance.
Yeah.
Well, you and I can sit here, and I know for a fact, breeding wheat belts, that I've got a real, like, in the past, I've had real dirty wheat belts.
Yeah.
And I've also got really nice, like, you look at our yellow, reduced pattern yellow Stimmy line. Anyway, if you look at them right now, and you'd say they're fucking hypo, excuse the language.
Yeah.
But no, but seriously, you're an ounce of black on them, reduced pattern, and they're almost glowing yellow.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
So what do we say about them?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's
they're
right.
They're just a really nice polygenic line bred.
And that's
locality, they originated from Tibooburra Stimmies, New South Wales.
Which have given them the yellow, and that's just...
Which gives them the yellow, and the reduced pattern also in the Tibooburra, and we've just refined it.
Yeah. I think...
I know that we've touched on Birchie a lot, but I remember about 2 years ago, he was working on the Starburst.
Yeah. Starburst
Stimmies.
I think there was a couple of glowworms even.
Glowworms.
They were pretty cool.
He couldn't make up his mind. Starburst, that's what I call one of my out males. But like that, for example, how do you classify that to a normal Stimmy?
Yeah, that's line breeding generation after generation. You're gonna eventually start to see animals that are coming out cracking and aren't like anything else.
I don't want to turn this into a Stimmy episode, but like we've got to cut those yellow Stimmies that we've sold off, the reduced patterns. We just don't have enough space for the holdbacks.
Hopefully produce a few more this season.
A few people have said, what would you do with them? Now, we still have the mothers. We don't have the father anymore. We moved him on to a good friend of ours.
Yeah.
But the mothers, we're pairing them to the T-plus male.
Yeah, and hoping...
And hoping that we still get a couple of reduced pattern hets. And then everyone that's boarded yellow stimmy of us, we'll look after you with a het.
Should we pause it here and start again and link them together?
Just yeah, 15 seconds.
All right, we're back.
We are back. I've just had a couple of... We had to quickly brush up on a couple of facts. So did you know that the granite morph actually originated from PNG?
Yeah, right, okay.
And on that
That's
note...
That's pretty cool.
They can be found on a couple of the East Coast islands.
Imagine that.
How cool would that be?
That would be bloody awesome. So yeah, while we paused the podcast...
I need another drink. Sorry, guys. Plus, we ran out of an hour and we have to merge these together. It's a big one tonight.
Got another drink, thought of a few little questions.
I can talk about Max for years.
Be here all night. But just a few more little questions I'll throw at you. Clutch size comparison compared to Children Eye and the Stimmies.
So we're throwing it back. I mean...
What have you found? Have you found there's much difference? Or?
So, my biggest ever Stimmy clutch was Broom, 21. Monster. 18 and 21 from Two Sisters.
Yeah.
My biggest Antresia clutch is also 21.
21, yeah.
So Antresia and Stimmy, I reckon, can lay very close to one par.
Okay.
The same.
What about
But in saying that, Children Eye, I have found that a few breeders have bred some like nice big original girls and gotten 18 to 19.
Okay.
So the clutch size generally max, yes, are bigger, although they can all be the same.
And egg size is variable, I guess.
Okay, so egg size, I'd say your Children's, your Stimmies and your Max. Generally, your Children's are your smallest.
Yeah.
Oh, pardon me. Your Stimmies are your next and then your Max. But in saying that, I've had a big female lay a clutch of 8 to 12, but huge eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I've had girls lay 20 eggs or 20 eggs.
That's
but
right.
Then in saying that, I've had girls also lay 8 eggs, but they're very slender but really long.
The
so...
Long, what do you call them? The...
What do you mean?
I'm thinking
them?
Of something else, don't worry. Mine's all over
you're,
the place.
You're on the next question already.
The eggs that you got from that posset that actually proved out to be a het, and they were super long.
They
skinny.
Were literally, if I was to guess, they'd
they
be probably...
They almost look like mini blackhead.
They'd probably blackhead be eggs. About... Oh, 7 to 10 centimeters long.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like a 30 centimeter.
Completely different to you.
They were probably 6 to 7 centimeters long.
To be precise.
And they're probably as thick as an Easter egg, a small Easter egg.
Small,
so it's small as.
Thin, yeah.
But they were really long and they all hatched out perfect.
Yeah.
And they had abs.
Proved
and yes, a couple of the abs died when they came out. But that's what you get with the morph.
That's all right. And back to the granites.
The granite.
So with the granites, I know. You haven't done too much with them yet, but...
Had a few rough years with the granites. Let's not talk... Nah, it's all right. We can talk about the granites.
So, yeah, just what do you reckon... Obviously, you've seen pictures of granite clutches in the past 3 or 4 years. Have you noticed any that have come out a little bit different compared to, say, your average granite?
So, I'm pretty sure overseas that a lot of people... There is a bit of clutch variation even when you do granite to granite, and
yep.
even to the point where you can get, I think they call it super granite. Or
they come out almost.
They literally patternless.
Yeah.
They're absolutely hectic. I love them. I'd be stoked to get one out, but
just
I mean.
Like a patternless Mac. It's pretty cool.
I'm a few years off before I do granite to granite. I've got a few other plans to undertake first. But I mean, you look at Kurt Lisely, he hatched out that granite with a bit of a white patch on him. You also had Mitch Daly, he produced the platinum granite. But all, like, you don't even look at the colour of it.
Yeah.
Let's just take the platinum out of it. You look at the pattern, and the pattern on the neck is close to nothing.
Yeah, they sort of.
Very different. The platinum, the granite I've got here, far out. We've been talking about morphs too much, and they're all coming together in my head. You talk about the granite that I have.
Yeah.
It's a very, very high pattern granite.
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely
a little
hectic.
Bit of,
a little bit of
striping going through it, yeah.
Lots of ocelots, lots of dots, lots of granite. I mean,
lots
that's what
lots.
You get with the... Lots of lots. I mean, that's what you get with the morph.
No, that's right. There's always going to be a variation. I'm just trying to go back through some old posts here to see if I can find something. But yeah.
Well, mate, spit it out. You said you had a number of questions. Come on.
Hey, on
Professor hey, on. Platinum, let's do settle it. We're talking about platinums down. And you're ready to go to bed now. Nah, I don't need anything else.
The night's young.
I was worried, no, but seriously, I was worried this whole podcast would be, yeah, my platinums. Oh, nah, yeah, my platinums. No, yeah, no. I'm joking. No, I'm right. joking, that's mate. Right.
So, you're the Mac King. We all know that. We'll go on to the...
I mean, Mac Daddy.
Double gene. Double gene animals, pure and non-pure. What?
All right, we've got to take it seriously because we're losing a couple of listeners here. All right, so double gene animals... Pure maculosa, or are we talking between the entries, your complex?
First off, we'll start with the double. I know we touched on it lightly earlier in the episode.
Okay, so, double gene Mackies, I'm most excited for. Finally. Oh, yeah, so. Sorry, some big stuff happening. Pure maculosa, double gene animals. Obviously, platinum albinos. I'm really interested to see what the platinum adds into the albino. Striped albinos. I know Birchie's done it. I really want some, and he will have to give me some with the amount I'm nagging him at the end of the year when he produces some more. Granite albinos is at the top of my list, though.
Yeah, okay, cool.
The ultimate. Imagine, I think of Joe Ball's lava blue tongues. So a granite, the pattern's black with a grey base. You look at a black blue tongue with an albino and you get like a red and purple lava.
Yeah, okay.
Imagine an albino Mac with heaps of red little dots.
Do you think the ultimate. Do you think that's going to happen though?
100%.
Albino to granite? Like, or it's just going to be a granite albino? Like
with... Ooh, granite albino, albino granite. We're talking, is it going to be a platinum albino or a albino platinum? Yeah, you'll say platinum albino, I'll say albino platinum.
I think the albino... In the carpets, the albino granite's been done, and I think that just comes out with like a granity looking albino. So, do you think in the Max that's actually
the granite albinos it? Haven't coloured up enough yet? KHP Brent, he's got one, and Maney's loves it. He reckons it's the coolest thing he's ever seen.
Yeah,
and I've seen it and I love it too. But like,
I think those
reds... like last week when we touched on the children's tarbles. There's so much you can do when you start putting tarbles. The marble head, there's so many things you can do with a double recessive visual animal, that shows both both visuals in one animal.
Yeah.
The world is your oyster.
No.
Even as a pure Mac, I mean, mate, wait till we start adding in the hypoxanthic and hyper.
Yeah.
It's gonna not only open up the Macs, but the entire intrinsic complex. It's gonna go nuts.
The next big thing.
We're gonna overtake the carpets. Sorry, carpet guys, but like honestly, we can breed at 18 months. We don't need as much food. We can keep more in a smaller space with the vision racks. It's gonna overtake them eventually.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time. I think because you got the shorter turnover time for hatchlings, and I know there are people out there, carpet guys, breeding the stuff.
3-8 months, but
yeah.
And you know what, with the ants, I guess the only thing that's an ant trees when you're going for double head to double head, you're 1 in 16 odds. A lot of ant clutches are 10 to 12. So you're very, like Dave Evans, 52 to 54, I think exit took him before he packed out his first tarble.
Yeah.
But like with the carpet guys, when you got clutches at 20 and even up to 30 for some of the big girls.
Yeah, that's why they're hitting odds a lot faster.
The odds and the clutch variations a lot bigger.
Yeah, definitely. That's what makes it exciting, but with the ants, I guess, yeah.
You know, guess how lucky you are.
Yeah.
I mean.
That's what keeps me sucked into it.
Sucked into it, eh? You just love that you're a carpet guy. I got you over the ants, I remember.
No, I was a bit best of both worlds. Best of both worlds.
Yeah, everyone was the best of both worlds until they got sucked into one or the other.
Yeah.
You just happened to form the geckos on the way down to the ants.
I fallen into everything somewhere along the way. I'm just about to get into the Ackies a little bit, but...
Oh, Ackies, God, monitors.
Nah,
everyone has to do it eventually. It's funny. It's funny, literally so funny after keeping... Every reptile after 10 years' time, what you end up keeping after 10 years. Like, after every single rep, everyone would think that you start on a Mac and you end up with a green or something. Something crazy, green, scrubby, something at the pinnacle. But it's funny how you either end up back at something so simple like a Spotted or Children's.
Whatever you...
Or even a Murray Dahl, anything. It's so funny how people find their specialty in some of the easiest snakes to keep.
Yeah, but there's lots to be done. There's never-ending opportunities, so why not? Mm,
exactly. What other questions you got, big fella? It was your birthday that day. How'd you go?
It was good. We had a pretty big night the night beforehand.
Obviously social distancing.
It was Anzac Day, so...
Your birthday was Anzac Day. But we had the drinks on the Friday night, social distancing.
I don't know, got the fire pit cranking.
I think it was you, me and your mate. We were in opposite corners of the snake room talking about all these cool morphs and trying to explain to your mate Jordan.
Explain snake genetics to someone who has no clue what we're talking about.
I love it. But the best thing is when someone's had a couple and they're sitting there looking at you and you think you're making sense, but they're like, man, I don't know what you're talking about.
They still enjoy it.
It's the best thing ever.
But back on the, I think we're getting
sidetracked. All right, sweet. We're still, come on listeners, stay with us for a bit. We've still got a couple of good questions to come.
Cool.
All right, let's do it.
Striped Max.
Oh, I'm just going to run away right now.
Recessive lines and polygenic lines.
When Peter was here on the long weekend of Easter, he said that it was a polygenic line. But in saying that, I've heard there's also striped lines.
Genetic stripes.
Yeah. He crossed the albinos for the stripes to try and outcross the line, and he just so happened to breed a striped albino.
Yeah.
What
happens, but doesn't it? Oh. Like you can be lucky sometimes and crack out.
Man, imagine trying to just produce nice albino, healthy albinos, and you crack out a whole different morph. How lucky would you be?
I know.
Don't look at me like that. I know when Pete told us that story a year ago, we were pretty chuffed with him. He'd be like, you're kidding, mate. Come on. But nah, the couple, I think I've only got two stripes in the collection right now, one being from Peter. Yeah. I've bred her once, like we touched on earlier. We'll be breeding her this year and trying to work out actually what's happening with her. It's genetic stripe or polygenic.
But do you have any ideas what you're going to pair with that one just yet? Or are you going to...
I mean, the world's our oyster. Yeah. Granite, albino, platinum. Probably platinum.
Platinum.
Good enough. The albino boys are stretched over enough. What a little young boy that's going to try and step up to the plate.
But... I think they're having a pretty big season this year, your old boys. They've got a lot of work to do.
And both our boys are already into it, but...
Yeah.
One locking up and the other proper spurring. He was spurring a girl's head last night, just quietly. So he's going to breed with a rope. And then I do have two. I got one, the original Cape York Het.
Yep.
It's a couple generations outcross. And then I do also have my Het Owl that's got a bit of extra special stuff in him, which I don't really want to mutter. I don't want to put the special stuff in the other genes when I don't know what's going on with it yet.
You got to work stuff out.
So, yeah.
Cool. All right, we'll quickly touch on localities with the Max.
Weekly? Far out. You can't quickly touch on localities.
Oh, we'll just give it a brief rundown.
To be completely honest, the locality-specific Max, you don't get a lot of these days. I think your most profound is your...
Cape Yorks.
It's literally your Cape Yorks. I think that's probably your only locality-specific.
Mount Molloy or Molloy, is it?
Oh, yeah, actually, your Mount Molloy.
Whatever you call it, you know.
That's actually a very locality-specific, but you... Mate, you find no one working with them these days, and I'm pretty sure they are a very reduced pattern animal.
Yeah.
Okay. I think what you do is you find more people that are working with lines that people have bred, so like Peter Birch line or your John Cimino line or your Bob Withy line, and a lot of those lines are all blondes.
Okay, cool.
When I'm talking about locality specific, like stuff that's more polygenic bred, but you know what's actually a really funny story is that my original Cape York Hets, they came from a Cape York female.
Yeah, okay.
To a albino.
Yeah, right, okay.
Paired them together, 100% hets. Both hets. And actually got another spare male couple about 6 months later from a different mother, but she was 10th generation Cape York. I think it was 10th and 11 or 9th and 10th. Can't remember.
Yep.
Every single het from that pairing that I got and everyone that I know that got one, all the babies came out silver and normal looking.
Yeah, right, okay.
Only it was until I paired the het and het together did I get a couple of blondes.
Yeah, right.
It's almost like it skipped a generation.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me about genetics on that. I don't know. But I hatched out some blondes.
Too much going on.
Yeah, I've got enough on my plate to be able to work out what's happening with blonde Max. I think they've been around for long enough. If I hatch out blondes, I'm very happy.
You get them, you get them. If you don't,
well, oh, that's that super nice blonde with the chocolate. Actually, no, not chocolate, sorry. I got one of them, but the super nice blonde with the black blotches that came out from a completely normal looking Mac.
Yep.
That was head albino to the head albino Cape York.
Cool.
So it's almost like as if they have blonde in their bloodline, then they're going to throw blonde sooner or later.
Alrighty, sweet.
But I'm really excited. I think Nicole Cleesby, she has a really nice blonde head out, male, 100% het.
I know, I would have bought.
It'd be really nice to see that over like a proper 100% het
blonde. That's the one she had up for sale. I nearly... Is that the one or are you
talking... Nah, I think it's a different one. I think has the blonde standard male. She got too many males, but then she actually had a proper...
I saw her post that 100%. The
she actually... The pairing that she did with it was a posset alb that I sold her, I think, a year ago or so.
Oh, gotcha.
But she didn't breed them last year, so...
Yeah, cool.
She's got some cool het albs from me.
She's got a few cool
she posted the male and the two females, and they're all so different.
Yeah.
She got one of the blondes, which is a cracker, and then I think, I don't know which are the other two, but one's like a real dark, and one's a real silver. It's stunning, and that's what made me go, I'm so excited. A lot of people have seen that picture of, in my hand, where I've got the two albinos, the granite, the blonde, and the normal, and that photo went off. I'm so excited to get that when they're big. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I might get you to take a picture of me holding them with both my hands.
Tie them down.
Yeah, all with clutches in my hands.
One can only dream. All right, so we'll move on to the next couple of questions, probably the last little questions for the night.
Yeah.
So, if you're looking to get into the albino project...
Ooh, don't do it, nah, joking.
If you're on a bit of a budget, but you've still got a little bit of money to spend, so nothing too crazy, what would you do? Would you buy a 100% het male and get a few posset females, or would you...
Mate, you've answered the question yourself, because obviously we've gone through it a few times.
Yeah.
No, but honestly, if you're working on a budget like I was when I was a young kid, and people say that $2,500-$3,000 isn't a budget, like it's not a small budget, but you do anything to reduce costs. So buying unfeeding hatchies, yes, it's a risk, but is it a risk you're willing to take? At my age, yes, it was.
Okay.
I had enough experience getting snakes to feed, and I thought, you know what, I can't afford the extra grand to get the feeding ones, so I'm just going to get unfeeding.
Okay.
But in this day and age, I sell 100% het pairs for $750 to $800, depending on the quality of them.
Yep.
And I sell possets for about $250, $300 each. So, honestly, if it was... For example, if I was to start getting into the morph again and I didn't have a lot of money to spend, I'd probably get a, like you said, 100% het male and a trio or four, like not a trio, sorry, three, or like a trio of female or a quad group of four females.
Yeah, cool.
That are all 66 poss hets. 66. And make sure they're off a guaranteed proper breeder.
Yeah.
Where you see the parents, you know exactly where they've come from.
None of the
dodgy ones that sell possets and aren't actually possets.
Yeah.
But that's what I'd do if you're on a budget.
Cool.
And then you can put your 100% head over those three to four girls. And obviously, if you got 66s, two and three should be het. Oh, obviously, this is working with odds. You could end up with none proving out. You should. If you got four of them there, you should end up with two at least. Two at least. Like I said, if it's odds, if you got three there, two of them should prove out and one shouldn't. But last season was a bit of a 50-50 for me on what proved out and what didn't.
Yeah.
It's one of the things, like, you got to think when there's a clutch of poss hats, yes, if you single all the females out and you go, oh, yeah, the females, two and three are going to be poss het, you're forgetting there's a half a clutch of males there. Or however many males.
Yeah, that's right. 100%.
All the males could be hets and all the females could be normals. You never know. It's just the luck of odds.
Yeah, that's right.
And then in saying that, if you had a bit of money to spend...
Yeah, so if you've come into a bit of money or you've been saving up for a little while and you want to get into a new project, so you got a good chunk there and you can pretty much buy whatever sort of you want, what would you buy?
There's two ways I'd go with this. If you had a bit of money to spend... there's a couple of rumours going around that our Mac males are dodgy. They're not good. They don't breed.
Well,
the males that I've found are all right, but I've got a couple of friends that males are dodgy. So okay. There's two routes I take. One, if you get a good outcross line, an albino male obviously is the most logical thing, to a couple of het females.
Okay.
If you don't have enough money to spend on an albino male and het girls, you go an albino male and a couple of posh het girls.
Okay, yep. That way you're guaranteed to get...
Worst case, you get 100% hets. Yep. You hold them back and grow them up and breed them.
Off you go.
Other way is het male and 3 to 4 100% het females. Ideally unrelated, okay. Ideally from different lines if you can.
For sure.
Worst case... Well, not even worst case. If you get a good male that breeds to all 3 to 4 girls, you're going to end up with 66 posh hets and end up with albinos. You keep your own posh hets back and then grow them up and try and get another albino or something down the line. The albino you produce... Pays for
itself after a season or two.
I mean, the real key... every season, I think the first season I bred my hets, I kept back 3... posh het females.
Yep.
Next season, I kept back posh het male and another 4 posh het females. That same season, I also bred the het male to a normal and created 50% and kept back a couple of them. And every year, I've done the exact same thing.
Yeah, okay.
I've bred a het male to a normal and I bred a het male to a het, kept a couple of posses back. This year, I've only kept 3 posses back, but I've kept quite a few 100% hets. The best of the best 100% hets, and same for the posses. But in saying that, I also had to make a very few hard decisions to let some of my best hets go.
Yeah.
Because I don't have enough space.
No, that's right.
Right now, I like... People say, how big do you collection? You're crazy for letting numbers out. But I'll be honest, right now, I think I've got 35, 40 holdbacks.
Yeah.
Why some doesn't seem like a lot, but that's... 35 to 40 spaces we need to save for
more growers. Well, that's right. Like, the seasons are growing by the year, so, like, the clutch numbers, I should say, Jesus. So that's why we're looking at getting... Well, we're getting the new racks coming in soon, and they're, like... is it 72 tubs a rack?
Mate, you'd know this if you were building them more.
Sorry, Bob the Builder.
Bob the Builder. Professor Platinum doesn't like building his racks.
No, that's right.
Rat racks and snake rats. He lets it up to me who...
Bob's
no, favorite. Because Eden takes advantage of my OCD. He knows if there's something to be done, if he just goes, nah, I'll do it in a couple of days, he knows that my OCD supervise. Will kick in. No, he knows my OCD will kick in and I'll go, we have to do it now, and I'll do it all for him.
I'm good at supervising. I can just watch over him and make sure he's getting the job done and... Snap your fingers and there you go. You've got
push, kapush.
You've got it.
You've got 20 mouse breeding tubs all of a sudden. that was funny actually. But Eden was the one that wanted. Oh yeah, you know, we'll just start with one mouse rack, and then next thing you know, we're up to 2 or 3 racks of mice now.
Throw a bit of cash in the air, and there it is, mouse racks.
Nah, but what were we saying? Honestly, yeah. So. A huge part of this season is that, yes, we do love... We were looking at using our... I think we mentioned it last week. Our hatchery racks, we were looking at putting smaller 2 to 3 litre tubs in them.
Yeah.
But what that means is we can't keep as many holdbacks back.
That's right. They're going to outgrow the tubs.
Yeah, we're going to grow the tubs too quickly. And we're going to have 400 to 500 hatchery spaces that are all 2 to 3 litre tubs that we've got no use for. It's all this unused space. So we've decided to opt for the bigger reject... shop tubs.
Reject.
I said that slow, so I said it properly. We're using those tubs so that we can keep the snakes to at least 6 to 8 months old, depending on how much we feed.
You've got that extra 2 litres, which makes the big difference.
It was funny. This thing was yesterday. What was it? Sunday? Sunday? Oh. We're sitting out on the deck and we're getting a bit of sunlight and we're sitting there, just sitting each other, going through our pairings. And oh, yeah, Eden's like, oh, I'm just going to hold back this clutch. And I said, oh, what about this clutch? He goes, oh, yeah, I'll hold back them. I said, what about this clutch? He goes, oh, I'll hold back them too. So right away, we've gone from hold back the whole of one clutch and a couple of others to I'm holding back 4 whole clutches. And that's what you've got to consider, especially with all this coronavirus stuff. We don't know what's going to happen and how long it's going to be around and how much people are going to have money. A lot of people...
We don't, but I feel like it's calming down a little bit.
A lot of people have lost jobs. A lot of people lost hours.
They have.
Me included, I lost a few hours, but... For me, just going to sell some houses and we're back on track. But
you'll get there.
It's just the way it's a pandemic. We've never ever seen it before.
No
one knows what's going to happen.
No,
Eden and I think if we broke it down into a ratio, 9 out of 10 clutches we want we want for a project animals.
Pretty much, yeah.
Honestly, I think the other there's at least
a few animals from each clutch, the best of the best. I think, to sort of hold back for project.
I think a couple of the clutches that aren't 100% necessary, I'm doing for mates. Honestly, yep. I'm breeding them for my mates.
Okay.
Because they haven't produced these snakes, or they want these snakes for their projects, and so they still will be project animals. And you know what? I'll just swap rodents for them with them.
Yeah.
I'm easy. Like, this season's like one that we've never had before. We're gonna go into it like we discussed. We've minimized a couple of clutches that we don't need, and we've also added a couple.
That's right. A few last minute changes.
We've talked to a couple of people that said this, and this. Ooh, yeah, we like the sound of that, but. And then when I was getting a drink, it also touched on my head. Those that are asking, we keep a lot of our adult macs, like our proven breeder girls and our older breeder girls in the V70 tubs.
For the most part, all of our big adults.
What's been, my head's very crazy. If anyone's ever had a chat to me, they'll know that my head's gone 100 miles an hour. I had a 20-minute shower the other night after the Friday night drinks, and I literally sat in the shower thinking, how can we expand the reptile collection? Yeah. And then I got into bed, and I literally sat there for another 20 minutes working on my ideas from the shower, thinking, how can we expand the reptile room and racks and what I'm going to do moving forward. But a lot of our permanent resident het females and breeder females and stripe females and all the big girls, the original girl, like Macapaca, she's like an original. She's been here for about the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Like, I love her. Like, I'm not going to sell her, but they're all in V70s. And the way I'm thinking is that a lot of our up-and-coming breeders, the first year of them breeding, I'm going to probably use them in the Vision V35S or the V35 short tubs.
Yeah, okay.
And then after the first year, depending on the clutch, depending on the hatches, I'll either move them into V35 V70s or I'll move them on. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And that's still plenty of space. It's just not as much height, but they don't need it. They're Antaresia. Yeah, but I mean, in saying that, actually, if anyone wants to give it a go, you chuck an Antaresia in a taller cage and they'll climb. I've done it before.
Yeah, I've seen it.
So, but no, good episode, mate.
Cool.
Antaresia, we could talk all night about the Mackies. I mean, that's why we're splitting the three up into three episodes.
Yeah, bring on the Stimmies.
The four into three episodes, pygmies, but
we don't have enough experience.
I've worked with pygmies, but I haven't actually kept them myself.
Yeah, okay.
Just, this will be the pygmy episode for us. Yep, small snakes, purplethensis, done. We're done, guys, that's it. They don't get feeding very easy. Pinky heads, that's all you need to know. Don't do it. If you want pygmies, message my mate Mark Green. He's known for his his vens, nice but ones. He's got some nice pygmies and he breeds them every year and he gets some feeding, so message him. Yeah. Not him. He's on Itari. But thanks, mate. Hopefully next week when we're talking, we'll be having 20 pairings locked up. And
we can only hope. Hopefully the weather drops down a little bit.
I wonder if Platinum's going to be recessive next week or Codom or...
we might have an answer by next week.
Nah, it's all right. To help silence everyone, we'll just do our own pairing. Like I said, we've got two different lines here, at least that we know. We'll pair them together. We'll work them out over the next couple of years, like with a couple of other projects we've got here.
Yeah.
But too easy, mate.
Cool.
Have a good week, man.
You too.
Cheers, thanks guys. Like and share.